Welcome back to Midwest Marriage. I'm John.
And I'm Angie.
And this is season 2, episode 1. We're picking up right where we left off with the end of season 1. And at that point, we left off with us kind of breaking up in a way.
Sort of.
Not definitively having the discussion, but it was kind of like, we're going to school. We're kind of done. There was some frustration on your part.
Yes.
with my relationship with another girl. Well,
yeah. And I don't know why that would happen.
Yeah, I don't understand that either, but okay, maybe I do. But now this episode, I have titled The Aftermath, because this has kind of taken us to what happens next. So, you know, we talked about, obviously, us picking schools. I'm going to Madison to Edgewood College, and you're going to St. Norbert in Green Bay. So we're going to be a couple hours away from each other.
Without cell phones.
Without cell phones, without FaceTime.
Without email addresses. Without
email, literally just landlines.
Yes, long distance landlines.
Mm-hmm. Which, you know, back in the day, that was like an issue because
it was expensive.
And your parents would get all mad at you if you racked up all the long distance bills. So yes, you kind of had to be careful.
They would not be happy.
So I guess our last year of high school, freshman year was very much uncertain, I think.
Well, I think everybody goes through the uncertainty, but I think for you and I, it was like, new school, new city. Well, I mean, not me, new cities, but, you know, new cities, new adventures. You know, I think you go to college with that perspective of, oh my goodness, the world is going to open up and all these opportunities are going to be laying at your feet. And all that great.
I was thinking, BS. Like, I got to do my own laundry. That's what I was thinking. I'm like, wait, whoa.
Well, then there's those of us who stayed in Green Bay, and my mom still did my laundry. She would pick it up and drop it off.
I had to move in with some random guy that I had only met once.
Well, he was pretty sketch.
And his name was Lars. And I was like, who the heck is this guy? So yeah, this will be the introduction of Lars, my college roommate.
Well, and I think for you, this is the introduction of like your lifelong friends too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'm still friends with him to this day.
Very good friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although it's been a long time since I've seen him, but anyway. So yeah. So I moved down to Madison. We didn't really definitively define what our relationship was. And I felt like that year of freshman year of college, especially, it was very much like an on again, off again. We talked, we saw each other, but it wasn't like consistent.
It wasn't consistent, and it wasn't
always positive either.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. It wasn't like, it wasn't like I spent time with you and I was like, oh, you know, this is so wonderful. It's like, oh God, I don't know that this is the right thing for me.
Really?
Seriously.
I thought you were like, oh, he's just still perfect.
Oh gosh, okay, no.
Well, and I think we didn't really know, like you didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know what you were doing. So it was kind of like, we still kind of talked and you came.
I think our trust that for me, at least after the summer escapade.
Yeah.
I think I didn't really have any trust in you anymore. Well,
and I knew that you were dating or not dating, but like, I knew you had gone to dances that freshman year of college with other guys. So I was like, well, is she dating somebody else? And I wasn't really dating anyone, but it was kind of, there was just a lot of uncertainty.
But the funny part is that I had very close friends that went to school either at UW or at Edgewood with you.
And I, yeah,
so that's true. I had a very clear picture of what you were doing because I had my peeps were there.
Yeah, but you also have to consider the source. What? Yeah, I mean, your sources sometimes could have been a little unreliable. I'm just saying.
Are you serious?
Well, I can think of one in particular who I won't name because she'll come over here and yell at me. Or text me and yell at me. But I think that's true because I hung around with a lot of those people that were in Madison.
Yeah, because a lot of our friends went to Madison.
Yeah, and we saw them. So yeah, it was a very weird, strange year. But you came down. I mean, I remember I lived in a dorm that was an all-guys dorm. Mm-hmm. It was the strangest setup because it was like this old house.
It was the weirdest place,
but it was cool. It was like this, I don't even think it was an old house because it was so big. Mm-hmm. It was probably built as a dormitory back a long time ago.
I think that Edgewood's campus just encapsulated some of the residential area around it. And maybe that house was just a
part of it. That would have been a big house.
Well, there are big houses around there. Maybe. Yeah, but it was, I don't know. Anyway, it doesn't. It's not really relevant to our story.
That's true. Nobody's going to be like, I really want to know what John's dorm, the origin story of John's dorm. I would really like to know. But it was a multi-level. It was almost like, you know, walk into a split level home and you walk in like on one floor and there's like the living room.
It wasn't
room
a traditional dorm.
Yeah. You walk, there's a living room, kitchen, and then you go up a flight and there's bedrooms. You go down a flight and there's like a family room. And then you go down another floor and there's like a basement. Like that's, I feel like that's what our dorm was. Cause you came in on one level and then it went up and then it went up and then it went down and went down. It was really weird, but it was an all guys dorm. And you obviously weren't allowed to have girls stay over, but you did.
Well, you couldn't, I mean, girls could come visit, but you couldn't stay. There's a certain, there's like a cutoff time. Like they had to be gone by 7 o'clock at night or something like that. And you had to sign in and sign out in the front. Yep.
And our friend worked the counter a lot with his girlfriend, another friend and his girlfriend, which I think was, I don't know that your visits were always documented. I don't know that we want to name names because we don't want to get Nate in trouble. Oh, wait, his name. Ooh. Sorry, Nate, if you're listening. I didn't mean to out you.
Nate would sign me out or just ignore me. He'd tie his shoe while I walked past.
Oh, I'm not, I don't even think
we don't want to get him in trouble.
He'll probably get his like,
his diploma ripped away from him.
Yeah, that's right. And he'll be all mad at us. But cause I remember you coming down to visiting and I remember you staying over more than once because you knew my roommate and you would hang out with us a little bit and stuff like that. So it didn't always go well, but I remember us hanging out enough. And I came back and saw you.
But you did. When you'd come home, you would see me. It wasn't like you just, you know, hung out with your family or our friends or anything. You saw me too.
And I wonder if it would be different nowadays, because if you think about it nowadays, you have text, you have email, you have FaceTime, you have all the social media stuff. Like then, like you said, we didn't have all that. We literally would have had to call each other and it would have cost money. Mm-hmm. So did that like further the divide or make
absolutely there's no communication none.
We would just talk every once in a while and stuff like that, but I do remember the one time when you stayed over that it was our RA for the dorm. I think his name was Zach. Actually, it's crazy that I remember that. I think it was Zach, and we were laughing or doing something. It was you and I and Lars in our room, and all of a sudden there's a knock at the door and it was Zach, the RA, the resident advisor. And he's like, I heard a girl laughing.
No, I thought it was you went to get ice cream.
That
and
was it.
Chris and I were, excuse me, Lars and I were in the room. We were talking and laughing.
And you laughed too loud.
And I laughed too loud. And then we got a knock on the door.
And it was Zach.
Lars was so mad. he was so mad at me.
Lars was like the best roommate, but he would get so mad at me. And Chris, I hope you're not listening when I say this, but Chris was, the nice thing with Chris is he was from Madison. So like having a roommate that was from the town that I was new to was like great. Mm-hmm. Plus his family lived there. His mother was amazing and had us over for dinner all the time and helped do our laundry and all this stuff. So it was great, but he would get so mad at me because I think he thought he was going to get in trouble that night. Particularly, he was afraid that he was going to get blamed
for me laughing,
for you being there
and having a girl.
Yeah, so I remember the very next morning, I think you and I left and we had to go stay in a hotel because you were going to like go sleep in your car and stay by yourself, whatever. So we left, we got a hotel. We stayed in a hotel.
It was too late for me to go home.
Yeah, it was too late for you to go home. And I think the next day you maybe went home and then I went to like the cafeteria for lunch at the college to eat. And there's Lars eating lunch with Zach. I think it was Zach. It might not have been, but eating lunch with the RA that had just kicked you out the night prior. He's probably like, that was all John. You know, I had nothing to do with that. I told him it was a bad idea because he didn't want to get in trouble. Because he was, and I would say he wasn't a rule breaker, but, you know, he was also a rule follower. So he was all mad at me that he was going to get in trouble for.
I remember that. Yeah, he was not pleased with me.
But I could tell a bunch of stories about him not being pleased with me, but it'd be entertaining.
But you're still friends, so it must not have been so bad.
And I can't say anything bad about him because we had a lot of fun. But I don't think he was much cleaner. Like the typical story of a college roommate, like one was cleaner, one was not as clean. And he was typically the one that was like, everything had its place. It was very organized and neat. And I would flop stuff on the floor. And I remember him coming into our room and it was literally like divided on the middle. And he would like kick stuff over to my side. And then we had our other friend that didn't live on campus, but went to school with us, that would stay in our room. And he was not, he would like literally sleep on his, on our floor sometimes with like a flip out little mattress thing that yep. stuck in the corner. I will not say what we called it.
Do not.
But people will know. He would kick his stuff over to my side of the room too. So it was like, but I will admit I was kind of messy. But anyway, so we talked on again, off again, but it wasn't, we didn't really define what our relationship Mm-mm. was like. And I don't think it was strong at that point.
No.
I feel like it could have probably just imploded or fell off at any moment.
Well, I think, and I don't know from your perspective, but from my perspective, it was just, life was so full of unknowns. You know, it's like, you're in school. Are you in the right major? Are you at the right school? Are you?
Well, yeah, there was a lot going on.
Is my life, you know, all of a sudden it's like, oh, fun high school. Then you get thrown into college. It's like, here you go. You're on your path for the rest of your life.
Yep. Make sure you study.
Make sure you study. Buckle down. Figure out what you're going to do for the rest of your life at 18 years old. And yeah, by the way, make sure you have a social life, but
not too much.
But don't have too much fun, yeah. And make sure you make friends, but
not too many
friends. Not too many friends.
And good ones that are going to lead you down a dark path.
Yeah, well.
Like mine did.
We'll get to your dark path friends next. Just teasing. So I think it was a really rough time. It was a rough time emotionally. There was too many unknowns. We'll just leave it at that. And you were just, yep, one of the unknowns.
Yeah, and I had the same thing.
I couldn't count on much, you know, yeah. I felt like I couldn't count on myself. I couldn't count on our relationship. I couldn't count on that. I knew for sure this is what I wanted to do with my life. It was a hot mess.
Well, I was the same way because, you know, I was started out in college in one path, and then I wasn't sure if that was what I wanted to do. And, you know, you had the pressure from everyone and this yep. is what you had to do. And I was a new city and new friends and new people. And like, I knew a couple people in town, but I mean, the majority of my friends at college that I met that freshman year were not people that I knew. I mean, so it was like, all these new experiences. And I still saw some of our friends that went to the university and hung out with them a little bit, but like traversing the new landscape was way different. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it was just a lot. So having like a high school relationship that we were kind of like trying to do something with, it fell to the wayside. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you think about it now, like if you and I were having this conversation with ourselves then, or like if, you know, we did something at our old college yesterday.
Yes.
So if we would have bumped into like a freshman, and they were telling us about their high school relationship, I'd be like, oh my God, really? Like, just shut up. I mean, like, it's so, looking back,
but your world is so little.
It was so serious.
Yes.
But me thinking back now, it was so insignificant. I don't want to say our relationship was insignificant, but well, you know, it didn't need to be a decisive answer at that point.
I agree. But I think college is kind of a, you know, dividing.
Well, there's like forks in the road at that point.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And unfortunately, I think this, like our relationship at that time was a distraction from school, which I don't know about you, but I probably didn't need any more distractions college freshman year, because it was being away from my parents in a different town, new friends, new experiences. I went to a lot of house parties and, you know.
And I think you were in a discipline that you weren't sure that you were going to like.
Yeah. Because I started out as like pre-vet,
yeah,
which if you just to be an animal lover, there's more to it. And I think
also to somebody who cannot stand
blood
or when my daughter loses a tooth that you're the one that can't look at it.
Oh, and yes.
Yeah, it was definitely not the right vein for you.
No, it was not. No pun intended.
No.
But I think that was hard because I think, like you said, I got into some of those classes and I really wasn't feeling it. And it was not what I thought it was going to be. And then, you know, you have the friends and the parties and no rules. And not that I had like a super, super, duper strict household where my parents kept me locked in a room. Like,
no, but you were in charge of yourself.
We were wishy-washy with the whole curfew. But as we talked about, I think past episodes, I was hanging out with you where I wasn't doing bad stuff. But now it's like I literally had no rules and could stay out as late as we wanted and go to parties. And I mean, obviously in Madison, it's a big party town and there was no shortage of parties. So I think that's what my freshman year culminated in.
It was very similar because I was pre-med. I wanted to be a physician. And my grades were, I was just telling you this yesterday. When I go when I go by campus, it's like, I am ashamed of myself for, I could have worked so much harder.
Yeah.
Like what did I think was so important? Like, I wish I could grab myself and be like the redhead in Madison who you think is just, you know, not sure if you like him or not. Focus on school. Yeah. Focus on school. He'll still be there when the dust settles. But yeah, it was the same thing. It was like, ooh, house parties and fake IDs. All of a sudden it's like you're thrust into adulthood. And I think I focused too much on the fun recreational activities and not so much the responsible, what my parents were forking out huge tuition for things.
Well, I think,
and I similarly, pre-med was not the right vein for me. And
again, no pun intended,
And I think it was hard for me to realize that.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's an age old issue. I mean, like every kid, when they go to college, it's like, you have to have, I almost tell a kid like, okay, graduate from high school, take a year off and just party. And then be like, okay, I got to buckle down now. Because it's almost like you got to get out of their system. Well, of course, that doesn't really work, but...
Well, and they do that in other countries. Yeah. Like, especially in Europe, they have gap years. Well, that's so smart.
Oh, it is.
Because I think you're an idiot when you leave high school. You're a moron.
I think
some of us, it lasts longer than others, but I'm just in general.
Oh, are you talking about like our friends and stuff? Yeah. You're not talking about me.
I'm not talking about you.
I think if I went back to college right now, I'd be much better suited for it, you know?
But wouldn't you love, like, for me to go back
to... And I could buy beer for all the parties. I mean, kids would love me.
Yeah, you've got a little bit too much gray hair to cover up.
I dyed black.
Oh, black. That'll go with like your skin coloring.
What was that? Billy the OxyClean guy? I want to say Billy Blanks, but that was a fitness guy. Remember that Billy Mays with OxyClean? He did the infomercials. He had, like, the jet black hair and black beard. That would be a good look for me. But anyway.
Yes, it was a tough year.
Yeah, it was a tough year. And I think we both kind of didn't, with our gray area relationship was probably the least of our concerns at that point, but it still was kind of like such an on again, off again. That was the weirdest year, I think. And it bled probably in a little bit into the following year, which maybe we'll talk about that next week a little bit more, but it was very much a gray area for us.
It was a rough year.
Yeah. Not that the next year was any easier, but like I said, we'll talk about that next week. I think this is a good spot for a little break. This week's episode of Midwest Marriage is sponsored by the Why Do We Say That podcast. Why Do We Say That is a father and son podcast that explains the meaning and etymology of everyday phrases and answers the question, why do we say that? Now, I have listened to many of their episodes, and one that I found really interesting because I use it is, why do we say throw the baby out with the bathwater? I know what context we use it in, but I always wondered where it originated, and I found out this phrase actually originated in medieval times because everyone in a family would share a bath due to the scarcity of water. The order of who used the bath in the family would be based on family hierarchy. So during the medieval times, the father would go first, then the mother, then the oldest sibling, and so on. Now, the last to use the bath would be the youngest child or the baby. As you can imagine, by the time the baby got to the water, it was dark and dirty, so the fear was that you would not be able to see the baby through the dark and dirty, dirty water. So you had to make sure you did not throw the baby out with the bathwater. Look at that, I learned a little something. One other that I really liked recently is shot in the dark. Now, I say this phrase, and I know what it means, you know, for us to use it, but I always wondered, like, where would that have come from? And it's actually a wartime phrase that meant to essentially take a shot at an enemy, even if you can't see them, hoping that you would hit them. Who knew? Now, at the end of every episode, they play a little game, and it's called Word or Not a Word. They have two people that face off, and basically they have to determine if a word is an actual word or if it's made up. Now, I've listened to many of these episodes, and I have to admit, I've gotten a few wrong. So I'm very surprised that some of these words that I thought were real were actually made up. But, you know, I would give an example of that, but I'm actually a little afraid to open myself up to that kind of humiliation. But anyway, they release a new episode every Tuesday, just like us. So give the Why Do We Say That podcast a listen. So now it's time for our segment of the weekly adventure. Yes. I know we talked about maybe doing something different, but I think we are going to do something different, but it's going to be a week by week basis. Cause you and I talked about doing something like, what was it? Like a marriage tip. Not that like as seasoned, you know, healthcare, family, relationship professionals, we know everything, but more along like
how to not annoy your spouse that so much that they want you to live in the garage.
Well, no, I thought of like how to poke the bear, like how to push your buttons. Oh,
yeah, that would
like
be
the things that I know just drive you crazy. Not that I do those things all the time, but no, I think it's maybe we switch things up once in a while. We talk about things we know that work for us, or like how. Because I think people always ask us how we've stayed together so long.
Well, because they're shocked. Because they're like, how can somebody that amazing, how can they put up with John Angie. for so many years?
You know, I was thinking the other way. Like, you know,
your family asked me that. They're like, how is it that you just keep him? We're waiting for him to be delivered back to our front porch.
I want to let everyone know this will be our last episode. I'm going to start a new podcast about how to meet ladies. Dating after divorce. I shouldn't even talk about that. But anyway, so we're going to start this out with our weekly adventure. Because we just actually had a weekly adventure not that long ago.
I know. Life is sort of shaken back to normal.
I know.
Sort of.
Kind of, yeah. So I have, I don't know, how do we want to start those? Our adventure was we went to Chicago for the weekend. Mm-hmm. Well, it was a two-day. We went one night. Yes, we were going to go for 2 nights. We bought tickets to a concert that was actually supposed to happen summer of last year.
Summer of 2020.
It was mm-hmm. supposed to be in June or July. I can't remember.
I think.
And we were going to spend the weekend down there and stay in downtown Chicago, go to this concert. It was going to be a great time. But then obviously with COVID, everything just went on lockdown. The concert got canceled. It got rescheduled. You could opt to buy your tickets or get a refund or just hold on to it and postpone until they rescheduled. So we did do it and they rescheduled and it was this past weekend. It was on September 11th. Mm-hmm. And the concert was actually Alanis Morissette. So it's kind of a good tie-in to college. Our Madison in yes. college because Alanis Morissette, I mean,
she was huge.
She was college. Huge back in the college days. So it wasn't really that I wanted to see Alanis Morissette. It was because I have this, I don't want to say obsession because that makes it sound like I'm strange, but my all-time favorite band, and people laugh at me all the time, and I don't know if it's just because of their name, is Garbage. And I love Garbage. I've always loved Garbage. So they were opening for Alanis Morissette because it was kind of like her 25th anniversary tour. So it wasn't like kind of an unknown opener that a lot of people have. I think she wanted somebody that was from the same era, and you know, Garbage was kind of big at that same time. So that's primarily why I wanted to go. But I thought, well, Alanis Morissette's good. I loved Alanis Morissette. But Garbage was my main focus because she was the opener, or they were the opener. So that's why I wanted to go. And I have seen, or we have seen Garbage. How many times have we seen them in concert?
I don't know. 8, 9.
It's been many times. And for those of you that don't know Garbage, not the stuff you put out the trash each week, they were like a band that started in Madison. I mean, they've got some credentials. Even though you don't think they absolutely do. Because, I mean, they were started in Madison, Smart Studios, with several of the band members were from Madison and started the studio that actually produced the Nirvana album. And that was like their claim to fame. They worked with Nirvana and Smashing Pumpkins.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Hmm. That's where they got their start. So like Butch Vig, the drummer, mm-hmm. he was instrumental in getting those bands to where they are. So that was their big claim to fame. Well, they decided to start their own band with this unique sound and everything like that. So that's where they got Shirley Manson from. They just heard her one night. One of the band members heard her on, remember 120 Minutes?
Yes.
It was like the MTV that was kind of like had, I don't want to say like alternative music, but it was not like
edgier music. Not mainstream.
Correct. One of the band members heard her on 120 Minutes and said, listen to this girl. And that's how they reached out to her. That's how they got everything started.
I did not know that. All these years, I didn't know that.
I can't believe I've never told you this
before. I'm sure you've told me, but I've probably zoned out.
That's probably true. That's absolutely true. So they reached, obviously Shirley Manson is not from Madison.
She's from Scotland.
So they got her and they met her and then the rest is history. They started the band and they started Madison. And so I think, I don't know if there was a heavier influence in Madison with me living down there, like right after they came out. Cause I think they were highly publicized down there a lot because they were a local band and everybody knew them. So mm-hmm. Anyway, I've always loved garbage. I've dragged you to so many garbage concerts. I mean,
and I would like to elaborate on my favorite. I mean, I shouldn't say favorite. I enjoy the music. I don't have the same interest that my husband does, but I enjoy the music. I like the concert, and I like Shirley Manson. I think she's great. But we were in Madison. I think you still live down there, and I think I was visiting for the weekend. You lived up Arbor Hills. Anyway, and I like to shop at the Marshall Fields in Madison
because
we did not have one in Green Bay. So I loved going to the Marshall Fields when I would go down and visit. And John, of course, would reluctantly go with me, and I'd drag him all over, and we'd look at all random stuff, and all of a sudden...
I feel like we're spilling the guts, though, because people aren't going to know that we got it together.
Well,
and now we're out shopping. Cat's out of the bag.
But all of a sudden, you come up to me, and you've got like this like panicked like look on your face. You're like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. I think Shirley Manson is right there. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And I'm thinking... Oh my goodness, what is going on with you?
No, you were like, why the hell would Shirley Manson be in Marshall Fields
in Madison? That's what I said. Like, why on earth would you think that?
Because she was there. They were recording their second album, and they were in the studios in Madison that the band
And I did not, that's type of information that I did not
keep you didn't
in
know my, at that point.
I did not know at that point.
So at that point, I remember this vividly. I was like, I got to get her autograph. Well, it's not like I carry around a pad of paper and a pencil, but literally, I think we were in like the makeup or jewelry perfume section.
Yes.
And I looked over and it was like a sign. There was, was there not a pad of paper?
Was there a beam of light coming down?
There was a beam of light coming down from the ceiling. There was like just an opening opened in the earth. No, there was a pad of paper, a little pad of paper and a pen. Sitting on the counter, like on the glass counter. There's nobody around, but there's this pad of paper and a pen. Was there not? You were standing right there.
I was.
And I was like, oh my gosh, it's amazing. So I grabbed this random pad of paper and pen that I had no idea whose it was. And I just grabbed it and walked over and stopped her. And she was very pleasant and very nice.
Was she nice? I don't remember. I didn't go with you. I was horrified because I'm like, this is not Shirley Manson. He's going to look like a giant dork. I'm not going to be associated with this type of dorkity.
No, she was super nice. And I don't know. We're a lot of random people in Madison, like running up to her. I mean, it's not like they're an LA requirement album and they were, I mean, they were pretty big, but it wasn't like, I don't know that she was getting hounded by people. I was the only one around her, but I went up and talked to her and I talked to her for a couple of minutes and I still have that autograph.
I'm just going to ask you, do you still have it?
I do. It's taped to a picture that, remember back when eBay first came out and everybody would buy like autograph pictures online. Uh-huh. I mean, so stupid, but she wrote on this pad of paper, like she signed it and said, watch out for our next album and whatever. So yeah, that was my close encounter with Shirley Manson from Garbage. But I mean, they were big. They did a James Bond theme song. They did the movie with Adam Sandler, the theme song, When I Grow Up.
Yeah.
What was that one where he adopts the kid or he tries to adopt the kid?
Big Daddy.
Yeah. Big Daddy.
That doesn't sound right, but.
Yeah, with Scuba Steve and everyone. Yeah. They did that song was in that. And yeah.
So is this our adventure or is this the history of Garbage Hour?
It's a bit of both. So for those of you that don't listen to Garbage, you need to listen to them. But anyway, the concert was great. We saw it in Chicago. It was an outdoor Tinley Park Hollywood Amphitheater. Is that the name of the place?
It's very much like the Marcus Amphitheater where it's outside, but there's a roof over the top.
Over one section. There was like grass seating way in the back. But the capacity of that place was like 28,000, I looked. And it was packed.
Yeah.
So Garbage put on a good show. They only played for like a little over an hour. But they were excellent. And then Alanis Morissette was good.
Mm-hmm.
She went nonstop. My favorite part of that, though, was her kids coming out at the end.
It was really neat. It's kind of like full circle that she is, you know, she's sort of close in age to us.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's somebody we listened to in college. And now here she comes out and she brings her kids and our kids at home. And it's just kind of full circle.
I can't imagine. And I think I said this when I was there. Like, can you imagine like you... Like as a little kid, I mean, I want to think her daughter's only a couple years old.
I think her daughter's like two or three or something.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Can you imagine coming out of the backstage with your dad to your mom who's on the stage singing and just seeing all the, I mean, I this that's, is that's mass normal for them. People. I know, like that would just be the first time she saw that, she must have been like, oh my gosh, like all these people are here to see mom. And you know, Alanis probably like will be in the car driving them somewhere and singing. And they're like, mom, stop it. You're a horrible singer. And she's like, if you only knew. But at the end of the concert, I think it was like her very last song or one of her very last songs. The kids came out with like those confetti poppers, like the big ones, and popped confetti. And I thought that was kind of neat. Bring your kids in it. But anyway, that is our little weekly adventure. We, once again, we shopped. And you dragged me over to these malls.
Well, yes, but please, let's caveat this, because I took you to IKEA for the second time in your life.
Yeah.
And were you not? I mean, you bought more than I did, FYI.
I bought a picture.
Dollar-wise, you spent more than I did.
Well, yeah, but that doesn't mean much, because everything at IKEA is so cheap. But, I mean, I spent $100 on a picture.
Well, I know, but I...
The biggest picture I've ever seen that is going to literally take up an entire wall in my office. But yeah. That's a whole other story.
Maybe that will be the weekly adventure. Yeah, assembling the picture. Can our marriage survive?
No, it'll be when John damaged the foundation of his office wall and he got fired hanging this huge picture. Anyway, but it was a good trip. It was fun. IKEA was fun. We ate out at a new restaurant that we've been meaning to go to that I thought was good.
Oh, Nando's.
Yeah, that was good. Got to see some shops. The weather was beautiful for like an early September day.
It was beautiful. It was great weather and it was fun. Yeah. We had a good time. And it's, we have time together every day, just the two of us, you know, after our daughter goes to bed. But it's you and I traveling, getting in the car, going together somewhere is rare. Yeah, you know, usually it's either our daughter and I or the three of us together. Yeah. So it was kind of fun just the two of us.
Yeah, it was. Anyway, that is all we got. Do you have anything else to add to the episode? Do you have a new tagline?
I don't have a new tagline.
Okay. No, so you're going to say nothing?
That's my new tagline. Silence.
Yeah, perfect. The listeners will love that. Well, we will be back next week with episode 2. Season 2, episode 2.
Ooh, 2 and 2. We'll be back in 2 and 2.
Oh my God.
Do you remember that from Love Connection? Love
Connection. Chuck Woolery.
Chuck Woolery. Anyway, loved that show.
But we will not be back in 2 and 2. We will be back in 1 week.
Yes.
Thanks for listening.